Good morning, Patriots. And it is Saturday morning. And we're still alive, kicking hard. The Hand Puppet Show and the Muppet Show, featuring Jim Hansen's special features this week with Joe Biden and the mattress-backed Camilla, are still going on. I hope you enjoy this shit series. It's quite amazing lately. They've even gone so far as to settle into a fake White House and pretend to be president and vice president. It's pretty funny. It's really funny in the show is that there's a bunch of people in the show that believe that this is real. It's fantastic. Wake up, America. What has happened to our nation? I'll tell you. Our nation needs God is what it needs. It needs to have the holy smoly shocked right out of it. I'll tell you what. It needs a serious awakening, like a spiritual revival, like Bard's Fest. That would be a good idea. Like, what do you know? We're going to bring the Holy Spirit and shock your tail across the room is what we're going to do. That's exactly what we need, a little bit of holiness. And you know what else they need? I bet you're never going to guess. They need some My Slippers is what they need. Comfy My Slippers from our favorite MyPillow, because they're going to be part of the My Slipper Revolution. It's actually the Slipper Revolution, because My Slipper is his brand name. Slipper Revolution. We're charging the Slipper Revolution full speed ahead, dancing around in our My Slippers. Going to rain down happiness on this nation at the event. So get your slippers. Get your My Slippers over there in My Pillow. 800-975-2939 and that great promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, at MyPillow. MyPillow.com. Because it's an awesome company. Mike Lindell is a company we're always going to support. We're going to push to get more companies like that in this country that run by the right philosophy. And that's really the way everybody should be running. And this is really, Patriots, where I think there is a big message here. And it's, I've mentioned it before, it's what Andrew Torba has mentioned, which is rising up and creating the new economy, which is a Christian economy. Not an economy based on this Luciferian exploitation, steal, pillage, burn mentality. This is a new economy. And when you look at a company like we're going to be honoring as we move here through the summer, MyPillow, it's about the principles of how they work. And it's about a CEO that's open about the challenges of his past. He's transparent to the world of who he is. He's good to people. You know, one of the stories I love about Mike is that he's got, and it was in his interview, is he came up with the idea of MyPillow. He lapsed back into his addiction. And there's three drug dealers in the area came to him and said, we're cutting you off. And this is one of these stories that I reflect on that's kind of setting up this morning anyway, which is God works in amazing ways. And three people came to him, three dealers, and said, we're cutting you off. You made us, and he tells the story. He's like, what, are you guys colluding together? And one of them said, you promised us to build a company that would get us out of this, and so we're not going to let you lapse back. Two of those guys work for him this day. Two of those guys work for Mike today. That's a powerful, powerful story. You know, we have these stories, all of us, I hope. And it's enough to make you really reflect about where we are and what we're doing. God does not limit himself to somebody in the church. And I think we see that if we really pay attention. And I do find this a lot, and people find this uncomfortable when you bring this up, those that have been raised in the church, and I've lived a perfect life, and, you know, it's like, okay, that's good, but Christ didn't choose perfection. He chose imperfection of those who were around him. God called those people to be with him because it was those that by the imperfection in their lives, when they came to God, they were able to see clearly what was before them. And they were able to walk clearly in life and have the greatest love for what God had to offer. Our world is really so simple when we water it down. And it is, again, when God is aligned in life and we are trusting in God in such a perfect way, God provides all wealth. God provides all things. And when we accept that and let that rain down, it's a very amazing experience. We're about ready to change the world in the coming months. And I don't mean this lightly. You've heard me say it. I've put it to prayer. We're going to change the world, patriots. We're not just talking. We're not coming up with some fantastical idea like someone new is going to run for president. I don't care who runs for president. I don't care who runs for office right now. I don't really care what some company tells me I have to do or not do if I'm going to go shop there with a mask. This is what I know every single day. Every single day I get up in the morning and I say, okay, God, guide me. Send me. I'm here. And every single day, I'm stepping forward. We now have a target date, which is the 26th of August to the 29th of August. And I'm putting all my focus and all my heart into that. I'm not worried about whether the economy is going to tank. It probably will. I'm not worried about whether inflation is probably going to break 10%. It probably will. I'm not worried about whether gas costs are probably going to hit $6 a barrel. They probably will. This is what I know. God is guiding this. God is with us. For every patriot out there that puts their heart into this, God will bring you to where you need to be. And every one of us will be part of the greatest revival in human history. And I'm stressing that point. Never in history have we had the potential of bringing so many people simultaneously around the world to focus on a singular event, both through the presence of their of being there and through the connectivity of the internet can bring. We have never had an ability to focus this many people on an event in a time and place where we can celebrate God together, celebrate the revival of Christ in our hearts, and to reawaken this world to the power of God's grace and glory. There's nothing that can stop us here. Nothing. And that's the glory of where we are. The only thing that we have to ask ourselves is how big and how far. As we were talking last night, and I said, oh, we're going to sell 200,000 My Slippers. And I was reading on the chat board, and people said, to me, what I always say, why are you limiting God? And that is absolutely true. Why are we limiting God? How big do we want this, patriots? How much do we want to shake this earth? How big do we want this to be? Someone else wrote on the board last night, we need mini Bard Fests all around the country. We need mini Bard Fests all over the world. We need God to lead people, to inspire them to do great things. Not everybody can be in Missouri, but that's like saying you can only enjoy God if you go to a church. We're having a central event which will inspire, hopefully, events all across the world, inspire people to do whatever they want to do in the name of God. This is a time to bring His Spirit and His grace, His glory into the world in a way that has never been witnessed before. I've said this before, and I really mean this. In all the things that we've talked about, we've done, and all the things individuals say they've done, I've tried this, no one will listen. I've tried this, no one pays any attention to me. I can't get this thing passed to the city. Okay, those are all mechanical things, and they're individual actions. And to highlight that. It doesn't mean you weren't successful. We never know when we're successful when God's in play. Our role isn't salvation. Our role is to introduce and to lay the crumbs. And from there, God does his work. And so we don't know those seeds that we plant, how many of them grow up to being forests later on, because forests take a long time to grow. And that's one thing I would say about living in Oregon. It's really amazing is when you see a forest that's been clear cut and then you come back and you see it's been reseeded and it takes generations. I mean, it takes 10, 20 years before you start to see the effects of that reseeding. And yet when it happens, it's hard to remember what the clear cut was like. So planting seeds, it's a very long process, and it's a process that has to constantly be going. John Giannone wrote the book, The Man Who Planted Seeds, and it's a really famous book. It's a beautiful story. It's not a true story, but it's a beautiful story of a vision of a guy that just plants acorn seeds. And he does it his whole life. And what ends up happening is this one guy, he's like a hermit in the story, he's pretty much like a hermit, just plants so many seeds a day over his entire life. And all these forests are cropping up and people start proclaiming it to be miracles. And they're like, God's coming. They find out that it's this one guy that's been going around and planting seeds. It's not taking away from, it is a miracle. It was God's hand to do something like that in the story. It's just, the perception is that people missed what was actually happening, that it was a slow and steady planting of seeds as God would intend. And with that, we build forests. We are planting seeds every day here, but in an event like this in the summer, we're going to be sowing seeds all over the world. And we're giving beacons of hope to so many that are wandering without. It's been a kind of a strange climate shift in the nation right now. And it happened yesterday or the day before, whenever it happened, that when the CDC changed its guidelines regarding masks. Now, I don't really know how to read this, I'll be honest. I'm highly suspect of anything the CDC does because this whole fight has been about moving back and forth with anxieties. Right now, they're saying that if you've had the injection, you don't have to wear a mask. Well, the response to that with many businesses is that they can't ask you if you've had the injection, therefore they can't ask you not to wear a mask or to wear a mask, excuse me. So it's kind of this backdoor cop-out that businesses are taking, which irritates me because you just need to be bold enough to say, we're not going to require you to wear a mask. But instead, they're like, whoa, the CDC said, therefore I shall worship. I shall be on my knees and I shall bow. Nonetheless, it's created this sort of strange optimism within the culture. Suddenly people are like, oh, it's almost over. That's where I get concerned. People have not accepted, first of all, their responsibility in this whole process. Accountability is not a word we use in our vernacular anymore. And accountability in our actions is not something that we like to accept. Central to a relationship with God, central to a relationship with Christ, is accountability. We must accept the things that we have done, the life that we have lived. We must be humbled in that presence of Christ to be truthful with all of our life as it was so that we may be healed as we accept Christ into our heart and renewed, reborn, to be made anew. And in so doing, giving us the pathway to Father through Christ to the Father. What we're witnessing now is this sort of perception that, well, okay, I went along with their rules and I did it, and now we're going to be rewarded finally. Because many of us have complied and taken the injection, we're going to be rewarded finally not to have to wear a mask. And that's kind of what the CDC rule has stated, if you have been injected. And of course, you have a lot of backpedaling, and there's a lot of nonsense going on, but people are still not awake. We're not paying attention, because the next round of this, we all know, is going to be the injection IDs, and then it's going to be some sort of follow-on death rate that's going to come from the injection itself that they'll blame on a new strain of the virus, and people will go back into panic mode. And this is how this pendulum works. Right now, people are now in the state of big sigh and almost a bit of euphoria because their masters have released control. And you're seeing it all over. And it's this excitement again. We can go out to events and we can start. Nothing has changed. And most importantly, what has not changed is the relationship to God. So let's just say that everything is as they think, that they're suddenly going back to that place of what we would call normal. And suddenly they're going to go back to this place where they can start doing events again, and they don't have to wear masks, and they can't ask about who's been injected or not. So everyone's going to have to assume that you've all been injected, and that's the sort of craziness of this. And for those that have taken the injection, they're just going to tell themselves, well, okay, then obviously if they're not wearing a mask because they haven't been injected, they wouldn't do this otherwise. They're going to give themselves confirmation bias at a level we've never seen. All of this is, again, rejecting God. It hasn't gotten better. It's getting worse now, because now we're going into this period of lying. All I can say is people are dealing with something bigger than they can realize. There is such a thing as wrath. And when you continue to turn your back on God, it will continue to be the buildup towards wrath. We aren't seeing people on their knees right now. Even if the CDC, imagine this, even if the CDC said this and they had the intent of flipping it back again, you don't see people dropping to their knees right away and saying, thank God this is happening. Thank you, God, for releasing us from this. God, thank you. You don't see any of that. There's no thanks to God on anything. It's always about the CDC. First words out of their mouth. The CDC said so, and I'm going to tell you, it irritates me so much to even listen to that, those words. It's like, who is the CDC? They're not my God. I don't report to the CDC. I never have listened to them. Biden's not my God, the hand puppet, Joe Biden. The Muppet, Kamala Harris, is not my God. Donald Trump is not my God. I don't take orders from those people. I will respect them based on the work they do, but God guides me. I don't get up in the morning and say, oh, such and such, please guide me. No, I say, God, good morning. Send me, guide me. That's where this nation has to get back to. Right now, this nation is lost once again and getting worse. It's now wandering all over the ocean storm, thinking foolishly that in the eye of the hurricane that they've gotten out of the storm. This is the weakness in our nation. Our nation is lacking the soul. It's lacking the rock. It's lacking that powerful foundation of true words, in God we trust. Not some words stamped on a dollar bill. The true breadth of what those words mean, in God we trust. To guide us, to lead us, to direct us, to bring us to the glory that this nation can and shall be. As Christ with us, as our Savior, and through Christ the Father, we shall bring this nation up again and raise it up to be the glory that it was and ever and always was intended to be. The promised land that God gave us here with the most unique system of governance the world has ever witnessed. A system of governance that guaranteed certain inalienable rights. Why? Because they were based on rights given only by God. A structure of government that ultimately guaranteed and stated within its own documents that all people, all government officials were accountable to God. That's moral law. A government that under that structure, the people had a choice of what leaders they would choose. Not dictated to them. The people would be engaged. They would be part of that discipline in life. Very much like watchers on the wall. That they would be looking and seeing that around them. Calling out the concerns when it happened. In no way ever. Hesitating to call out the truth. Keeping the world alerted to the dangers of corruption. That's what our role was and always has been. And yet, here we are. Back to the celebrating of the tyrants. The tyrants have done me well. The tyrants have treated me well. I've been a good slave, and therefore they're telling me now that I don't have to wear my face diaper. I don't have to wear that Luciferian gag. In all of this, that is all so many have learned, because it has been a place where they have lived within the me world, the me relationship of life. We will, in the end, save this nation, and we will, in the end, rise up a new and better America, a better republic than we've ever witnessed. We will. And you and everyone out here, it follows this and hears this. You need to believe that in your heart, because that's not a we will conditional. If we will, because we are affirmative. We will because we are doing this with God in our heart and God is leading us. And this remnant, whether it's 300, 3,000, 300,000, will be the army that brings this country back to its center point of where it needs to be. Does that mean it will be easy? Absolutely not. But this is what we know. God didn't say it would be easy. What we have told God is we will not bow. We will not bend. We will stand. And that is where we need to be each day of our life. Right now, patriots, our country is still at a very critical point. And it's going to take a lot of work for us to get back there. It's going to take a lot of work for all of us to complete the mission that's before us. And there's a huge mission ahead. And there's going to be a lot of this sort of ups and downs as we go. It's very easy right now to get wrapped up into this euphoria. Oh, we're free again. Oh, my goodness. And it's funny how quickly it corrupts the weak. Even people have faith, but they're weak in their faith. They will say, well, look at this, and this is so nice, and they're going to do this, and now it's exciting because I can start to get back to doing this, and nothing's changing in this nation until God resets as the foundation of this nation, and those tyrants that are in power are held accountable before God for the crimes that they have done. Anybody that thinks that one of these tyrants who has willfully encouraged people to get this injection, who has willfully encouraged children to wear masks, to damage these youths with tear, damage these youth with fear, take away the youth's most important asset, which is to see smiles and experience love. That's some dark hell that they brought on this earth. And that is not something that can ever be forgotten. I don't care if they called it quits today, which the cabal will never call it quits, by the way. I don't care if they called it quits today. There is yet to be the hardest part of this, even if that was the case. And that's accountability. Because every person, I don't care what your role is, that has encouraged this injection, that has been killing thousands of people, every person must stand to and be present in front of the world and in front of this nation to justify what they did. And we must hear what they did and why. And evidence must be presented, and they must be judged. We are never going to get through this, and we are never going to heal until the crime has been presented in truth and those participant in it are held accountable. For the nurses and doctors that have gone out here trying to turn their back on the data, focused only on their job and what the hospital was asking them to do, they are not excluded. Doing my job is not a defense. Encouraging a nonsense science of mask wearing, a nonsense science of injecting people with mRNA, the most deadly injection ever administered to humanity. Playing games with promotions of win a lottery and get, if you'd get the injection, or enter your name in a lottery to win $1 million if you get an injection. If you're a youth, as in Ohio right now, enter your name in a lottery, get a free scholarship for 4 years if you've taken the injection. These are criminal acts. So in all this euphoria, this is intended to be a buzzkill. Anybody that's living in that euphoria, you're living a lie. And if you're living in that euphoria, you too are having a lie to God. This is not anything other than just another hand trick by the magician that keeps moving the ball around the table under the cups. True sense of revival in this nation will come when we come together, when we praise God, when we start to uniformly turn to God each morning and each day. God, send me. God, guide us. When we let go of the constraints that this world places upon us. And most importantly, when we stand unwavering with that faith in God, knowing that no matter what happens, we are not going to budge. Right now, we have to be those rocks, because in the coming days and weeks, it's going to get difficult to be against the injection. You're going to hear people saying, well, look, it's working. Look at this. It's working. This is this euphoria time before the trap is snapped again. Look, we're free again. Complete nonsense. And you're going to hear politicians doing the same garbage. But if you're listening closely, you're going to hear things like what the hand puppet Joe Biden said yesterday. Get injected or wear a mask for life. That's the world, that the real sense of what they're talking about. Follow my orders. Do as I say. Obey me. Worship me. Get on your knees and submit to me. Otherwise, I will punish you with a slave mask for the rest of your life. The greatest irony in that is the only ones not a slave are those that are wearing the mask. The rest of them have given their soul to this Luciferian devil worship that runs our world. Ephesians 6:10-18 seems like an appropriate passage to read this morning. The armor of God. It's what we're all going to need. And we have to continue to keep strong within our heart. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. It's putting on the full armor of God. And that passage isn't about one piece of armor or another. It's the full armor. That's what it's going to take to endure this and to win this and to be victorious. This is the Lord's fight. We're in His army. Our role is centered on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. We aren't seeking to harm one another, but we are definitely drawing a line and must always hold that line as to what we will participate in. We are free. Our liberties and our sovereignty were given to us by God, not by men. We don't bow to tyrants. We don't let our lives and our worship be dictated by men, by tyrants, by CEOs, by politicians, by basketball stars, sports idols, Hollywood idols, music idols. When we take a step back and we breathe deep and we look clearly with our eyes, we realize how everything around this world has been constructed through idolatry and worship. Idolizing sports teams and worshiping them with your, idolizing pop stars and worshiping them, idolizing CEOs and worshiping them. Respect is one thing. Honoring great work is another. Both good. But when we begin the process of worship and letting them dictate how our lives are, and they, none of them want to put Christ first in their world, in their success, or credit God for their success, this is where the problem begins. As the country begins to feel this euphoric state to say that, oh, we're starting to be free, they're not. It's the wide gate, again, the easy path, and that path to destruction. As we hold fast to that place with God, with our armor on, we know that the true reset of this world will come, and it is coming. It's coming like a storm. It's coming through us, where God works through us. It's coming as in that new economy, the Christian-based economy, the economy based on God's love and respect for one another. It's coming through our gifts and talents that are awakening. It's coming because we're rolling up our sleeves not to get a shot. We're rolling up our sleeves to dig in, to do the hard work. We are the future. We are the hope. We are the light. We are God's children. We are the remnant. And in so doing, we are taking this country back. God at our back, faith at our feet, Christ in our hearts. Don't kid yourself. This country's ours to have. And in the end, God will win. And we will be there with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we come together to reflect deeply on the words you give us, the wisdom in our hearts, and the times in which we live. Lord, we are here in this time, in this place, by your choosing. And so we humble ourselves before you, knowing that you will guide us and direct us as you need us, as soldiers in your army. Warriors of Christ, Lord, as we sit here before you, kneeling before you, humbled before you, knowing our imperfection, but understanding as well in our hearts, Lord, we will not bow. We will not lean any other direction. We will stand strong in the face of this evil and the state of this storm. Our armor's up, the full armor, Lord. As we prepare for the gospel of peace as a major weapon with our power and of the Spirit. Let us show the world, Lord, what the true power of agape love means and what it means to rain down that sort of force upon the world like it has never seen, has never known. Let it heal, let it awaken, let it humble itself before you. Let us bring your love back into the homes, back to the dinner table, back into people's hearts. Let us inspire. And in so doing, let us vanquish this evil and crush it with the ruthlessness that only your wrath can deliver. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So Patriots, have a very blessed Saturday. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press in. This is a good fight, a great fight, a glorious fight that we're all part of. It's a fight that begins every morning with grace and thanks to God and with powerful prayers. It's a fight that continues every day as we turn to God and say, send me, guide me. And when we let go of all of these pieces and chinks in our armor that were put there by an evil cabal that wanted us to believe that pain and torture and death are part of our way of being, it's not. At the core of who we are is a loving, beautiful spirit. And the key word there is loving, because it is the most powerful force in the world. And as frustrated as every single one of us gets, every one of us, at the end of the day, let us return to God and humble ourselves before him. And truly speak the words that need to be spoken. And those words come not from our mouth, but from our heart, inspired by the love, the grace, and the blood of Christ. Prayers up. God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. And as we know, God wins. I just want to watch it. I want to be there when that's happening. I don't want to go through my whole life going, man, I wish I would have seen it. I want to be right there going, all right, that was good. I'd be like 300 of us at the end going, is this it? Like, yep, that's all that made it. That's it. You got some cold ones in the refrigerator? Got to be laughing. He's like, I knew you'd be asking. Exactly what you want's in the refrigerator. You get one. Enjoy it. Because as soon as you're done, you got work to do. Get busy. Be like, all right. Time to celebrate, Patriots. This is the one thing that never, ever to forget. We have won. Because we have God in our hearts. Have a blessed day. Raise your hands, celebrate Christ and all he's done for us through Christ to the Father. Amen. I'll see you this evening, 9 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. I get this wrong every day. I'm going to have to put it in the big print right in front of my face. 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Until then or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
east of Eden, running with the wolves of freedom. If you listen, hear the whispers, what the night knows. There's a revolution running.